Good evening, brethren.
Good evening.
As was mentioned, I'm going to be talking about the vessels that are being afore prepared unto glory. The text I'm going to be taking it from is from Romans 9, verses 22 to 24. And it's a question that Paul poses here. It says, "What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but of the Gentiles." So Paul, throughout chapter 9 here, has been explaining this mystery that the Gentiles would be grafted in to the olive tree. And that God, in all his manifold wisdom and sovereignty, which is part of his glory, had determined before the foundations of the world that this mystery would be fulfilled. And it's and really what Paul's bringing up is a remembrance of what was really shown to Jonah, and that God is the creator, that he's the potter in the context here, and he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will hardeneth.
Yeah.
And that he will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy, and he'll say unto them which were not my people, "Thou art my people," and they shall say, "Thou art my God." Mm-hmm. So this is what Paul's opening up here, is that this is fulfilling, that he would call the people that weren't his people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is also, at the same time, fulfilling a promise that was made to Abraham, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So what he's speaking of here with these vessels, the thing that we need to see is that the vessels are our flesh. It's our earthly bodies, in the general sense, it's mankind. And this type of language is used throughout Scripture. Jesus, when speaking to Ananias, telling him to go find Saul of Tarsus before he became Paul, he said, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me."
Amen.
To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. And Paul used this same phrasing again when speaking to the Thessalonians. He said that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Peter, he still speaking of the flesh, though he's changed it to show more of the temporality of the flesh, and he refers to it as his tabernacle. He says, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." And Paul also uses the same phrasing, which has been mentioned already, I think today or last night. I said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." So we are speaking of the flesh here. And there are two different types of these vessels, as we read here, that one is of wrath, and one of mercy. And it is two different people. That is one aspect of it, that it is two different people. The vessels of mercy, which is who God is showing his riches of his glory on, the abundance of his glory, that is the vessels of mercy, which is the focus here. And those vessels are those who have believed and been baptized, those who have believed the record of God's dear Son. In 1 John, John says, "And this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So there's another aspect that I was given to see in this, and that the two vessels are actually two different natures in the same individual, in the same person. In Jeremiah 18:4, it says, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again, another vessel, and it seemed good to the potter to make it." So he actually made a new vessel out of it. He didn't reform the old vessel. He actually made a new one. The vessels of mercy weren't always vessels of mercy. They obtained that mercy. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." So Christ gave us, we had this new nature born within us, and we're no longer identified as that old vessel of wrath, even though we have to still contend with it. We're no longer identified with it. And it's through that new nature, that new creation, that God is actually working through. His glory is being made known through that vessel, not the vessel of our flesh. And as was mentioned, I think, last night, it said it's not that we're only being saved from something, we're being saved to something. So there's a purpose that we're being saved. And that purpose is to reveal God's glory, is one of those purposes. It says that in Colossians, that even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So we have part of revealing God's glory is in Ephesians it says perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry, edifying the body of Christ. So we have a duty to build up one another in Christ, so that we may be presented perfect to God. It says that we were being afore prepared. I know that's something that in the background that I came from, I had a hard time seeing that part of it. But the afore prepared is God had determined before the foundation of the world that He had set up a way through which we would be reconciled to Him. And through that way is how he would determine who are the called. He's calling them, but that's how we identify with him. We have in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 15 through 17, it says, "Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds, will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." So part of this new nature is God has actually written his laws, his word upon our hearts and upon our minds, given us a new mind, the same mind as Christ. These commands go against our flesh. They're not. That's why we had to have a new nature, so that God could work these things out in us. And it's to the extent that it's, in Romans 2:14 it says that they do by nature the things contained in the law. That's that new nature. That's the one that's being seen among the brethren and out in the world. Even though the ones out in the world may not recognize what the difference is, they do see a difference. And then the brethren, they see the difference, and they give glory to God because they know why that difference is there. Having this this difference within us, when we do, it says when we do the things by nature, the things contained in the law, that's kind of our deeds are involved in that, our works, the things that we do, how we live our lives, our conversation. Also through our testimony, when we speak of these things, that the things that God is working in us, the things that as we grow, change into the image of Jesus Christ, we are purged of these things that are contrary to the new nature. We are purged of these things, and through that, others are able to see Christ in us. And even in Ephesians 3, 9 and 11, it's not just creation that sees it. It's also the powers and principalities in heavenly places.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
And which reveals another part of God's glory, his manifold wisdom. So his manifold wisdom is made known through the church, through the saints, through each individual vessel. His manifold wisdom is made known in that we are, as it said in 2 Corinthians 3:18, behold, but we all with open face beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. This transformation as it takes place, Paul said that in another place that it's a treasure in an earthen vessel, that the power, the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. That this transformation cannot be claimed as a work of another man. They may try, but it's truly not. A man cannot change himself.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
And of course, we're being being prepared for glory, unto
Amen.
Glory. So when the Lord returns, we shall see him come to be glorified in the saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed. This is when we will also receive our glory. Our glory is in him. So just a few things to look at here when we... what all we will receive in our glory, we don't know everything involved in that, but I just wanted to take a look at a few things here. When the Lord returns, this flesh, the thing that impedes us from fully expressing our new nature, our inner man, it'll fall away. And it says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So we all have issues of our flesh that we contend with. So this is something that we can look forward to, that our flesh will fall away. We'll no longer have the aches and pains and temptations that we face.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And then we will receive the grace that is to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We'll receive that grace in full when we can actually receive it. We can't receive the full grace in this flesh. When we have our new spiritual body, one fit to contain our new nature, then we'll be able to receive this grace in full. And Christ will gather together those vessels of mercy unto himself and take them into the Father's house. And then the final promise that would be fulfilled is, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So these are just a few things that we know of that we will no longer have to deal with in this flesh. That when the Lord returns, that glory that we will receive, this is just a portion of it. That's what the Lord gave me. I'll go ahead and end there. I'll turn it over to you, brethren. I know we're getting close to dinner, so.
That was good, brother. Man, I appreciate it. The usage of the word vessel several places in the scripture, and those comparisons, I hadn't really thought about that connection, so that was a big help there. You know, these passages in Romans 9 and 10 and 11 are some lofty considerations. At the end of chapter 11, you remember Paul said, oh, the depths of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How's that go, Brother David? Unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. There's a lot of theologies that kind of fly too low, you know, and try to take too low of a view of this, but this is a high view of what God is doing.
Amen.
This is some of these vessels, you know, this is like a, you know, from God's perspective, you know, some of these vessels, this is actually, you can see this like in Psalm 110, you know, God is dealing with both vessels, right? For the high priest, he's working with the vessels of mercy, and then with the, you know, this matter of the Lord shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath, he's dealing with the vessels of wrath there. So in salvation, God is actually doing at least two different things there. He's working with the vessels of mercy, and he's working with the vessels of wrath. Your exposition was very good.
Amen.
I like the point you made, that a man cannot change himself. In other words,
yes.
The leopard can't change his spots. We do need a new birth.
Amen.
And it is in God.
I think Brother Robert has.
Yeah, I appreciated this whole line of reasoning around the potter. Yeah. And it says, "Hath not the potter power over the clay?"
Yeah.
You know, that is there really a controversy? men have a controversy with it, but God, he just lays it out. He's the potter.
Amen.
The potter has power over the clay.
Amen.
He can make whatever he wants to make.
Amen.
And the blessing is to see that he wants to make vessels of honor.
Yes.
Amen.
I mean, praise God, he's making vessels of honor.
Amen.
We get to spend eternity with a God who is delights in blessing.
Amen.
And saving and being merciful and long-suffering and all the things we found we needed. God delights in doing this. So I'm so thankful that Paul was moved to write this book.
Amen.
Because the book of Romans shows us a lot of things about our God.
Amen.
About the way he thinks, about what he does, about what he loves and what he hates.
Yeah.
These things are vital if you're going to overcome the world.
Yeah.
To know that God's able to keep you from falling. He's able to keep you even in a world that's against him.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He can do it. And I praise God for showing us ahead of time that he's in absolute control of every aspect of salvation. There isn't anything out of control when it comes to the throne room. He's got it all. And I thank you for exposing that.
Right. Amen.
This is not a subject that a lot of people would even desire to talk about. So I'm thankful that God gave you to see these things and that you shared it with us tonight.
Amen.
Do you have something?
Yes, Brother Bobby talked about the love of God, the things that he loves. Well, from this passage, he's revealing his heart towards the vessels of mercy.
Yes, amen.
As you're reading, and you look at who's the one that's enduring these things? Who's the one that's long-suffering with these vessels?
Uh-huh. Amen.
It's God.
Amen.
God's is enduring this purposely, as you said. See, he's getting the vessels of mercy ready for glory.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so he's the one that. So you think we have to endure these vessels of wrath? These are the ones that he actually is using to help prepare us for glory. Because he says if you suffer with him, He'll also reign with him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So see, who but God could do something like this? He uses these vessels of wrath in it for destruction to help prepare the vessels of mercy for the Lord.
Amen.
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 Like what
Amen.
Brother Robert was saying, think on the and about me too. Those vessels of clay. You notice in the Bible it never says a vessel of iron, because iron is not moldable.
Uh-huh.
It's not pliable. So you know, clay is moldable, pliable. So that's why God, to me, this is what, you know, kind of a simple truth, but mm-hmm. why God chose that, because we are moldable,
Amen.
We are pliable.
Amen.
To each other.
Amen.
Learn.
I really enjoyed your understanding and expression about the new and old man and the new body in this temporal body, and your expression of compatibility, of the grace, the fullness of grace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what Peter's words there, it says, hope, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It's like that's the full deposit. When he appears, a fullness. We couldn't handle that now.
And, yeah,
that matter of compatibility, I just like how you express that, is really the crux, like the essence of our present burden and our future hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, heaven, the burdens of earth are often described and expressed in pain and sickness and sorrow. That is true, but those are largely external.
Yeah.
The real essence of newness of life being in this body is incompatibility.
Amen.
So when it says, when Peter says, they that have, they that suffer in the flesh have ceased from sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's talking about. Not talking about being sick. Not talking about something external that all men experience at some time and at some level. It can't be. That suffering in the flesh ceased from sin is a unique experience to new creatureship that's
Amen.
In Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that has to do with incompatibility. There's new life in this temporal body.
Yeah.
And so heaven is more than just beauty and joy. And I don't mean to talk down about those things,
yeah.
but I'm saying heaven is so much more than fleshly idea of paradise. The natural men have this tendency, they always have, to deify whatever they want here.
Yeah.
They just kind of deify that into golf courses in heaven and hammocks in heaven and cookouts in heaven and things like that. But the issue is having newness inside and out.
Yeah.
There's going to be a harmony between the nature and the body.
Yeah.
And so the body will be in perfect agreement with the expression, the desires that we have now that are cooped up. You express that the new man is hemmed in inside of this temporal body that's wasting away. And when it falls off, like he says, then puts on that immortality, then you'll be able to do as you would.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother John?
No. The afford prepared, that sticks out to me in this. Vessels of mercy.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone should be able to say, as Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God.
That's right.
They really have to be able to make the connection that I'm saved because God wanted to save me.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a way.
Yeah.
He prepared a way for you to be shown mercy. So, I mean, like, reading this is like actually a blessing. It says, before prepared in the glory, it says, even us.
Yeah,
I
even
like
us.
Being able to say that.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
Before prepared us for mercy.
Yeah.
I'm glad I serve a God that prepares men for that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Sister?
You said, Christ will gather together the vessels of mercy and bring them into the Father's house. I was thinking about when Israel was conquered by Babylon. They took the vessels out of the temple.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
Used them for profane purposes.
Yes.
But when the temple was rebuilt, they brought the vessels back with them and sanctified
them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Anything else?
You see the goodness and severity in this passage of God. goodness is very good.
Amen. Yeah.
Severity is very severe.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Just to think that he has prepared vessels for glory.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Brother Jefferson?
He chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before
yes.
him in love.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Remember the woman in Scripture who was told, bring all manner of vessels, fill each one.
Yeah.
And each one was filled to the brim. Well, that's what God's doing. He's extending himself.
Mm-hmm.
God is filling us with his person, and he himself is not being diminished in doing so.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 I just want to sing one or two lines of a hymn that goes right along with what Brother Aaron was saying.
Uh-huh.
This house of clay is but a prison, bars of bone hold my soul. But I'll take my flight like a mighty eagle, the hills of home are calling me.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.